The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man throws seeds on the land. Night and day while he sleeps, when he is awake, the seed is sprouting and growing. How, he does not know. Of its own accord, the land produces first the shoot, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the crop is ready, he loses no time. He starts to reap, because the harvest has come." He also said, "What can we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable can we find for it? It is like a mustard seed, which at the time of its sowing in the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet once it is sown, it grows into the biggest shrub of all and puts out big branches, so that the birds of the air can shelter in its shade." Using many parables like these, he spoke the word to them, so far as they were capable of understanding it. He would not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything to his disciples when they were alone. The Gospel of the Lord. At the moment, my parents are visiting from London. They've come down to see me in Falmouth. And it's quite interesting because my father used to be a post van driver in London. And I was driving down, actually I was going from Penzance to St Ives the other day, going through some narrow roads. And it's amazing to see when he's not in control of the car. "Would you hold up there, Anthony? No." And the window was down. "Get over, out of the way now, we're coming. I said, "Look, it's all right, we're not going to hit anything. Would you think they'd cut some of this shrubbery back so we could drive down the road?" I said, "Well, that's the way it is in Cornwall." Scared stiff he was in the front of the car. My mother was killing herself laughing in the back. But when they came down, I introduced him to Father John. And when I was introducing him, he said to me, "Hey, Anthony," he said, "why have you got an Irish accent all of a sudden?" I said, "I haven't." He said, "You have." He said, "The minute your father started speaking," he said, "an Irish accent came out of your mouth." I said, "No, no." He said, "It is." He said, "You were speaking with an Irish accent." So then you get a bit self-conscious, don't you? And you start thinking, "No, surely not." So then, of course, I accentuated my London accent, which sounded even worse for having an Irish accent mixed with a London accent. I sounded like I came from India, I think, really, in the end up. But anyway, so, and it's amazing, isn't it, how we pick up things through our ear. You know, it's what we hear, isn't it? That's the kind of accent we have. I can remember at school, many times, my friends who would have parents who were from Ireland and had strong Irish accents, especially the lads, when their voice broke, all of a sudden it was like somebody from Kerry. You know, they'd be speaking, "Oh, like that," and awfully, awfully. The minute the voice broke, "Sure, how's it going now? Now me all." And you think, where did that come from? But of course, we pick up a lot of things through what we hear, and what we see. And in the gospel today, we hear about the ear of the corn. It's no accident he talks about the ear of the corn and about the seed because, you know, he's saying to the disciples, the seed is planted through what you hear. And it's going to have to be that way when Jesus goes back up to heaven. It's interesting, I was having lunch with somebody yesterday who went to the same school as me in London, but there was a few generation difference between us. And I was talking about some of the things that used to happen with the nuns. We were both taught by nuns. He was different nuns. The nuns were dead that taught him by the time I went there. But anyway, they were both nuns. And there were certain sayings that they had at this school. They were Dominican sisters that had gone down through the school through the generations. For instance, we were talking about rugby. And I can remember when we were being taught how to play rugby. We had a PE teacher, but if he was sick, sister took the rugby lesson. With her umbrella, I think I've told you about it before, 5 foot in height, with an umbrella. And her speciality was the scrum. "Lads, you do that. That's the way you do it. You bind in." And if your head was up, she got this umbrella. "Get that head down, will you? Get it down." And I said, "Because you know what happens if you don't put your head into the scrum?" And he went, "I think so." I said, "Because if you don't put your head into the scrum," and he finished the sentence, "you break your neck." And it was amazing when we were having the lunch yesterday how a lot of the sayings, he was finishing them for me because he'd had the same sayings. So we went to the same school different times, but we knew what the sayings were. They'd been handed down from generation to generation. And then he said to me, you know, if we told these stories to other people, they wouldn't believe us. I said, you're right, they wouldn't. I said, if we did a film show about, you know, a soap opera, they wouldn't believe any of this happened, the things we went through. You know, cleaning statues of Our Lady with a toothbrush for detention. They wouldn't believe that it really happened when the head fell off. You know, they wouldn't believe any of that happened. They just laugh at us. And I was thinking about that and thinking about this gospel. There are so many dramatic things told in the gospel that one of the things I sometimes think is, how do people believe this? You know, when you go and I'm there and I'm teaching Jesus here, whatever, and I'm, you know, we're doing about Jesus feeding the 5,000, you know, walking on water, and you think to yourself, how do people believe it? Why do we believe it? Because this is dramatic stuff. This is stuff you couldn't do now. If you walk off of the end of Penzance here and try to walk on the water, you're not going to get very far. I was looking at that ferry that goes to the Isle of Scilly today as I was driving in, and that doesn't look too good to me either, floating on that water. You know, you think to yourself, this could never happen. And yet we believe it. We believe that these things happened. I often think to myself, why doesn't Our Lady appear in Penzance or Falmouth or, you know, forget Lourdes or Fatima. They're holy already. You know, Fatima, Lourdes, Medjugorje, she appears in all these places. And I sometimes say to myself, Mary, could you not just come down to Newquay? You know, or just come down to Land's End? Because if you appeared, everybody would believe. We'd all believe then. The whole of Cornwall would believe, because there she'd be, standing in front of us. But she doesn't. And we don't know the reason why she doesn't. But she doesn't. The only people who know that is Mary and God. But yet, we have faith. And we believe these things. And why is that? And it's because when the faith is sown, when that seed of faith is sown, it's hit us in our hearts. And we can't explain why, but it has. And for each one of us, Jesus is in there. He's in our hearts. And we know it's true. But yet, if somebody asked us to describe why it's true and why we believe it, we'd have trouble. Because we can't quite do it. But we know it's true. We know that Jesus did do these things. And we know that the things that Jesus said and promised us will come to reality. And they are true. And that's because the seed of faith went in our ear and it's embedded in there. And so that's the first parable he tells us. You know, you will have faith if you let my word come into your heart. And it's done that for us. And so we have faith. But he does two parables today. The second parable, the mustard seed. What is that about? Well, when he plants that seed into our hearts, we don't leave it there. We don't say, right, I'm all right, Jack, I believe it. The rest of you, hard luck. You know, it's going to get a bit hot where you're going, but I'm safe. I'm going through them gates up there. St. Peter's got my name written down already. The second parable says, if you have that seed of faith, you have to spread it. You can't keep it to yourself. Because if you spread it, although we think we're very small and insignificant, we are like the mustard seeds. We will spread the kingdom of God to our community. And it will become the biggest shrub in Cornwall. And there's a lot of shrubs in Cornwall. Become the biggest, with all this rain anyway. It'll become the biggest shrub in Cornwall. Because we ourselves will become the sower. And we will spread the seed of faith. And so these two parables, I think, are great going together. The first one is about us having faith. The second one is about us spreading the faith. And, you know, maybe one day Our Lady will appear in Penzance. You never know. She might. And wouldn't it be great? But until she does, and until Jesus comes for the second time, the job of sowing the faith is ours. And all we can do is say it. It's then up to that person to receive it, and it's up to Jesus to nurture it in that person's heart. So when we go out today, and we spend the rest of the week, whatever we're doing, just remember that. We are always the sower. The things we do and say can make a difference. And we never know the seed we implant into someone else's heart. We may never see the fruition of it. We may never see the outcome of it. But it does happen. And when it happens, it's great. And when it happens from a mustard seed, from one small person, We grow the kingdom of God into the biggest shrub here in Cornwall.